Are you sure we can tell this?
Massive fan of Off the Ball.
Ireland is in dreamland.
The All Ireland finals are almost upon us.
There's always good guests on.
Fastest ever seen you run in your life, there.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
Highly recommend it.
Hurling on Off the Ball
with Bord Gáis Energy. That's hurling energy, and we've been here for all of it with our energy.
Now, you're welcome, Max. So we've been talking about it already in the first hour. Where do we start on yesterday's All-Ireland hurling final? Nothing short of an epic. The atmosphere, what everybody expected. The game was relentless for 100 plus minutes. Benches were emptied, and we just saw the most phenomenal pieces of skill on both sides. In the end, it was Clare's day. Deserving winners, and yet still only just about winners. A solitary point, the difference, 329 to 134 is where we finished up. 38 points to 37, their fifth All-Ireland title. Happy to say once again, Richie Hogan here in studio, and he's brought a laptop/iPad thing. He's upped his game, basically. It's All Ireland Final Monday. He's got facts and figures to bring to the equation. Hello.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Jamesy.
Jamesy O'Connor's just bringing pure joy, I think.
Oh, an elation joy, yeah. Yeah, there are no problems in Clare today.
Yeah, I'll bet. So, Richie, it's probably look a little churlish and small time to compare different All Ireland finals. What's the best ever? But I think we can certainly say, in any conversation, yesterday's final can be very assured in its place next to anything. I mean, that was really quite something.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Had a little bit of everything. Drama, which obviously helps. Anticipation, hope from both sides. Amazing colour, which some finals don't have, but, you know, mainly due to Cork. And I suppose for me, and the part that I love most about the biggest occasion in sport is it had the biggest players delivering on the biggest day. And I know we all love an underdog story. We all love we all love the Shane O'Donnell of 2013, if you get me, coming out of nowhere and scoring a couple of goals. Of course we love it, but I think there's something brilliant about just really, really top individuals delivering for their team on the biggest occasion. And I think I appreciate that more than most.
The colour point is well made. I haven't heard anyone make that point. The yellow pops as well, the red pops. The weather wasn't bad, so everybody's not in raincoats. It was kind of visceral.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it to be fair, that is a feature of of Cork All Ireland's, and red dominates, obviously. But there was a drone. There was a drone image at one point just before the game threw in, and now it just showed the stands. It didn't show the hill. It showed that kind of that U shape, and it looked like there was nobody from Clare there. But then when the speech came and the Cork people emptied out, I couldn't get over the amount of Clare people that were there. You could really see the colour, especially on the hill. It was just such a brilliant occasion.
Jamesy, I suspect you have taught several of these players. You teach alongside a fella called Tony, not a bad hurler, had an impact yesterday, and you're kind of part of a brotherhood, really, with Fergal Logan, or Brian Logan, excuse me. So you're feelings or your thoughts or your observations at full time, what was going through your mind?
Sure, very emotional, Joe, because it was a sure roller coaster of a game. I mean, I felt in the second half that we were getting on top. We looked like we were, you know, we had that ability to cut Cork open, and they didn't seem to be able to stop us when we you know, had runners coming off the shoulder. And obviously, you know, the two lads got two unbelievable goals. I mean, Mark Rogers' goal was outstanding, but Tony's goal was, I mean, just ride the rover stuff, you know. And I look at 3 points to the good, you're thinking like, yeah, look, we've struck the decisive blows, and we'll hold on here. And then maybe a little bit of indiscipline, the architects of our own downfall. We probably missed a few chances that we should have nailed on. And suddenly you're heading into extra time, and you're kind of looking, well, like Conor Cleary was gone with shoulder. O'Donnell was clearly in trouble, and O'Donnell tweaked his hamstring on Tuesday night. And that was a big, there was rumours, all right, but, you know, that's exactly what happened. So, you know, he was off the pitch obviously for most of extra time. Mark Rogers wasn't there. Peter Duggan wasn't there. Now Cork lost Rob Downey and a few other guys as well. But yeah, I just felt that, you know, we had we blown it. You know, no, you knew the team weren't going to give up, that they were going to give everything they had. And I think the value of Brian giving game time to the likes of Cian Galvin, the likes of Darragh Lohan, you know, Robin Mounsey is at game time, Shane Meehan is at game time, and obviously Conor Lean coming into the team had a fantastic game yesterday. So that obviously our bench and our panel and the depth of it was really tested. But I mean, Joe, sure, at the end, I mean, even in extra time, we looked like we'd maybe dodged a bullet. Obviously you think when Robbie makes that great catch, Robbie O'Flynn, that he's going to nail it, and obviously again Conor Lean gets away maybe with a little jersey tug and it goes narrowly wide, and they're the margins. But just, yeah, listen, thrilled for the players, because since Brian took over, Joe, they've given us unbelievable days out, you know, in Thurles and Páirc Uí Chaoimh and the Gaelic grounds and so on, and they haven't maybe had their awards maybe in terms of silverware, but there's just an honesty about that team, and they're a sound, genuine, honest bunch of fellas, and you know, Brian Lohan wouldn't be tolerating anything less or anything else than that. And thrilled for Brian, obviously, the management team. You know, I teach obviously with Bugs as well, who's part of the backroom team this year. I won a hearty with Tommy Corbett, you know, back in 1990. I was in Tommy's class in the Ennis National School, and then I moved on a year ahead of him. Ken Ralph, we epic battles between ourselves and Clare Gaslin. Obviously I played with Brian at 21 and also our senior careers, we made our championship debuts together, you know. So yeah, just a brilliant day for that group, and those individuals, and you know, it was just they got their awards, Joe, and I mean they've paid their dues. You know, I think that they'd shown obviously unbelievable resilience to keep coming back, keep putting the work in, and you know, okay, maybe they might have got the rub of the green at the end, but I think they in a way they deserved it.
Just on Brian Long, because obviously it has been a criticism of him, Jamesy, it's been in game management, slow to make a change. That's kind of been a regular stick to beat him with at times. I don't know how true that is. Maybe you'd have a sense of that. But it did strike me listening to Tony Kelly yesterday, where he made the point, look at the difference since Lohan has come on board, that there was so much angst with county board situations. We were in the news for all the wrong reasons routinely. And he said, Brian has come in with his stature, his personality. And he's actually, you know, it's no coincidence. A lot of that stuff has died down a lot. Given the players the week off after the Munster final, suddenly looks like a really genius move now, a kind of a player's player manager. Shane O'Donnell told to go away for most of the winter. Don't worry about the league. You do your thing in Dublin. You have a job. You're busy. You get yourself right and you come when you're ready. I think other managers, more insecure managers, would have a kind of one size fits all. And if we're training in January in the muck, then so are you, Shane. Take it or leave it, buddy. And so I think maybe in the last 24 hours or so, there's an appreciation that actually, okay, maybe he didn't make that sub in the 50th minute that you thought was the right sub, but actually look at the whole of what he's done here. And there's a body of work behind the scenes and with the players, which is maybe a bit more extraordinary than Lohan's been given credit for up to now.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if you were to take the you know, maybe the questions about in-game management and substitutions and so on, I mean, you go back to the Munster final last year, Joe, I mean, Brian Lohan didn't drive the ball wide from, you know, very, very scoreable positions. Brian Lohan didn't maybe make the unforced errors we made, maybe turn the ball over for that late goal against Kilkenny, or maybe concede maybe the needless threes, you know what I mean? So certainly I think in the Munster final this year, I think there was a bit of, he did take a bit of flack, because, you know, I think he waited maybe until the 60th minute or whatever it was to bring on the first sub, and there was certainly a feeling that he was slow on the line to make changes, and that narrative began to emerge. But I think, look, it didn't fall on deaf ears. I think he maybe obviously the management team discussed it. They clearly didn't perform in the Munster final, but I was, you know, I felt that night, the sense I got that night was that, listen, it had been absolutely parked, you know, that they had moved on very, very quickly. There was no you know, nothing like the same damage done or scar tissue from 2022, when they were just emotionally emptied, or 2023, when they were in a much better place, but obviously really disappointed because they had the chances and just didn't take them. It was a game they really, really should have won. Whereas this year, yeah, we didn't perform, but there's still silverware to be played for. There's still a lot of hurling to be done, and we're willing to go and go hard for it, you know. So that's that part of it. In terms of the whole, I suppose, the infrastructure, I think that's arguably where Clare Hurling owes the biggest debt of gratitude to him, because, yeah, clearly there was a little bit of dysfunction and so on behind the scenes, and you know, maybe I don't necessarily want to get into that tonight, but like the changes that have happened in Clare. You know, obviously Deirdre's there doing a fantastic job. Kieran, as county chairman, you know, is progressive and a smart, intelligent guy. And, you know, Club Clare, in terms of the fundraising arm, he's got some great people there, you know, Owen Conroy, Tony Killeen, you know, Pat Keogh. You know, these guys are committed guys. And you know, they've had a couple of corporate functions in Dublin that were really well supported and a great buzz and great energy. And, you know, so all that is there. But there is it's there, Joe, so that the players can have, you know, all the supports and all the add-ons that maybe, you know, Brian feels they need to have to be able to compete with the Limericks and the Corks and the Tips, and maybe the counties that maybe are a little bit bigger, a little bit better resourced. And everything about Lohan, you know, he's a player's man. Like in our dressing room, like there was no one more revered, no one more, you know, well-regarded and respected because of his honesty and the way he worked and the standards he set for himself first and for everybody else. And it was even brilliant last night to see so many of the 95 lads there. You know, Ollie, Fergie Toohey, Dial was beaming from ear to ear. Shawnee McMahon, Frank was obviously there. You know, guys that obviously had soldiered with him and had tremendous respect for him. And Dale was beaming when he arrived over late in the night at the Intercontinental. You know, so yeah, he's just he's an exceptional character. And you know, I was listening to you guys in the first hour, and obviously, you know, the picture with Ger, because you know Ger would have lived in Shannon obviously, and you know, I mean, I remember talking to Brian and him telling stories about Ger picking him up maybe on the way out from college and telling him that when he'd take over as manager that Brian would be full-back and Sean McMahon would be centre-back, and Brian didn't even know who Sean McMahon was, you know. And Lohan, like, he would have been, you know, Lohan would have been one of Loch Nan's guys, and there would have been a huge bond there between them, you know. So that was fantastic to see that, those images after the game. And, you know, there would be no 97 or 2013 or 2024 probably without Loch Nan and what he did in terms of changing our mindset and the belief and all the rest of it. So a great day for Clare Hurling, and just absolutely thrilled for Brian and the group of players.
Oh, amazing. We mentioned Tony Kelly. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of the game in a moment, but seeing as we touched on him, Richie, he briefly got into the goal in the post-match interview he did on the pitch, and I would think you both could, of course, but I would think you could relate to this. Certainly he had no intention of going for a goal, and yet defender coming across sparked instinctive glorious reaction, where it's just react, touch, move, bam, angles open up, and no better man to do that is glorious. Like, it's just amazing.
No, it was brilliant. And some of his points were even better.
The flicks past people and one with his back to goal virtually.
Yeah. Now, like, look, it looks, the goal looks amazing to people watching on, and it absolutely does. But to be honest with you, he can do that in his sleep.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what he did there. That is not hard for him. And the points that he scored, they're not hard for him either. And he's always had that. What hasn't happened for him for the last 10 years is he hasn't been able to give it on the let's say in All Ireland semi-finals and finals. So that is the most impressive part for me about Tony Kelly. He wasn't playing well. Tim O'Mahony was definitely winning that battle. Had 3 points scored up until the 51st minute, and then he gets onto a ball, goes through the whole defence and hangs it up, and he just kicks off from there. And that's what I'd be most impressed about. Like, we're all looking at Tony Kelly scoring 6, 7, 8 points in Munster Championship games, and in, you know, hanging up a goal and being brilliant for his club and for his county. But like, you know, what he did yesterday goes far beyond that in terms of just his ability to take the game by the scruff of the neck. He was coming off. I was at it and I saw him as he scored that, the point that ended up not being the winner in ordinary time. He hurt his knee, I think, or his ankle possibly, and he was calling for the line. He wanted to come off and they couldn't take him off. Right. And you could see them sending him back on. All of a sudden, he just kicked off. But it's like, you know, and I just love to see that. And you, like, everybody is so happy for him because he's had, it's so hard when you're under so much pressure, and he hasn't had a good season by his standards, yet on the biggest possible day when he needed to deliver, on the most important day for him as a player, and he managed to do it, and in such incredible style. So that's what was most impressive about him for me. Like, it's easy to be the Tony Kelly of 3 years ago. That's easy because you're full of confidence. You're hurling well. Every time the ball comes, you're going to do something. It's hard to be the Tony Kelly of 2024, where you're half injured. You're struggling for a bit of form. Everyone's saying that, you know, you haven't had a good season, and maybe the game isn't going well. And he made a lot of mistakes at the start, fumbled over a couple of balls, and it looked as if it was affecting him. He had a couple of chances to shoot and he handed it off to other guys, and so it's hard to turn that around. And it was just his performance in the last 20 minutes of ordinary time, but especially in extra time, when every single one of the Clare players were out on their feet, including him. I thought it was incredible. It was real, as Jamesy said, it was real Royal Rover stuff.
I said at the top, Clare deserving winners, and to be fair, Cork may well have been deserving winners as well, but I also said Clare the better team. Agree?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Just about. Now, I've been accused of being harsh on Cork, but I'm not harsh on Cork. I thought they were brilliant. I thought they were outstanding, and they've had a really good championship, and they've found something, and they've proven something this year that they possibly haven't been able to do, and they will get better. I don't think they'll just fall away now and fizzle out. I think they'll improve. They brought as much as they could yesterday in a very similar way to the game down in Páirc-Uí-Chaoimh when they were coming off the back of a poor defeat from Waterford. They brought everything to Clare that day. But Clare just have a handful of individuals who have proven time and again that they can get their team over the line. Cork have an excellent team. They all contributed. And I'm looking at the scorers here. They all clipped over a couple of points. They were all really, really good. But I think the likes of the performances from Shane O'Donnell when he was needed, and Tony Kelly when he was needed, and not just those two, there was others, that just made the difference. And I will absolutely remind everyone that I predicted this in the first place. I just thought that it'd make the difference between them, that like on the biggest day, I thought it'd mean a little bit more to the Clare guys, having gone through what they had gone through over the last 2 or 3 years.
I was sort of thinking of you when Shane O'Donnell caught that ball and then had another involvement in the build up to the first goal, when we were talking about momentum a couple of months ago, and I said, well, what do you feel momentum hinges on? And one of the first things you said was, well, can somebody get up and catch a ball?
Yeah.
And make it stick and make something happen. My God. Because I'll get your thoughts on it in a second, Jamesy, but I mean, that was the most disastrous start to an All-Ireland final in some time for the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, and for 17 minutes, Shane O'Donnell was struggling and couldn't get his hands on the ball, and anything was coming his way was kind of not breaking well for him. And then he goes and does something like that. It was 1-7 to 3 points, and Cork were kicking on. Patrick Horgan had a free. It went wide. They poked out the ball really quickly, which they're allowed to do when it goes wide. It was just fired down, and it was right in front of me. It was a bad ball to try and win. He was out in front, and it came high, and Kieran Joyce had the advantage. But when it hits the ground, his ability to use his body in maybe unusual ways, if you like. If you watch a lot of really good inside forwards, what they will often do, we can all sprint into space for a free ball, but you've no idea where your man is behind you. But what really good inside forwards have the ability to do is take a couple of steps and almost break and invite contact from their defender, who's not expecting it. That takes his momentum away, and it gives him a little yard of space that he needs. But that goal was as impressive as Tony Kelly's was an individually brilliant goal, but that goal was just as impressive, because he won the ball twice. You know, it broke down, he won it again. He created a goal out of absolutely nothing. And when they really needed it. And that was if they hadn't got that, and if they had drifted maybe one or two more points, it could have been something similar to the 2022 All-Ireland semi-final against Kilkenny, where they were beaten by 15, 16 points, where they just couldn't get into it. And yeah, a huge momentum shift, and he was outstanding again when they really needed him.
Yeah. Jamesy, what a start from Cork, and I mean, conversely, by Clare. I mean, when Robert Downey does that, and all the Clare players stay with their men, I think eventually Hogan thinks, maybe I should go over to him here. I think, like, you just want everyone wake up. Let's get going here. We're on.
Yeah, and Joe, what about the catch over Peter Duggan's head?
Amazing,
you know,
yeah.
The catch in the first place was just, you know, you see it live and or in the slow motion, and you just have to marvel at Downey's athleticism. But yeah, I mean, like, he ran, sure, what, 65, 70 metres, and it opened up for him. And obviously, you know, you've got to credit the Cork guys for the off the ball running, and maybe somebody needs to say, look at, you know, there's maybe more danger here. But I don't think any player expected Downey to do what he did. And I mean, Joe, off the hurley. I mean, and it was a rocket. I mean, it was he absolutely met it on the meat into the top corner. I mean, it was a goal for the ages. And he was a big loss to Cork in extra time.
Yeah. Did you think that spoke of a team who, well, we're going man for man here, start of an All-Ireland final, these things aren't going great, I'm going to mark my man anyway? As opposed to, I don't know if Downey had taken off on that run in the 50th minute or an extra time. I just feel Clare were in such a zone then, somebody would have went to him, a bit more flexibility perhaps.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, after that, maybe Clare, you know, the midfielders maybe sat maybe a little bit deeper. I mean, Tony picked up a good bit of ball back deep in the first half, and I haven't watched the game back yet, so I'm kind of trying to figure out was it maybe after that goal when maybe they maybe took some maybe corrective action. But listen, there were 7 points down on Parker Keith, Joe, earlier in the season, you know, and turned around. They led by 8 at one stage, so they clearly had the belief that, listen, there's still a long way to go here, you know. But Cork scored 1-7 from their first 8 shots. Clare dropped a couple, hit the post a couple of times, a couple of bad wides, dropped one short. John Connell dropped one short, and it took, as Richie said, it took somebody to do something special, and O'Donnell has been doing that all year. And I mean, he was, as I said, and like, to do that now with hamstring issues, it's just will and desire. And as Richie said, he conjured something out of absolutely nothing. And I mean, even the pass rate McCarthy was absolutely perfect. Pace on the ball, Aidan just had to catch it, swivel, and there was nothing really Patrick Collins could do about it. And O'Donnell got a couple of points from play after that, and single-handedly suddenly Clare are very much in the game, and O'Donnell probably having a bigger influence or impact in that sense than any other Clare player. So that's what great players do. And you know, he's so unassuming and so sound, you know, he's just one of these special talents. And we're just really lucky, as Richie said, Joe, like, we have guys with genuine X factor. And I always felt like, you know, that we had the horses, we had the forwards to win it if we could just get a performance. And you know, like, Rogers has class and flair, and obviously Tony and Shane have it in spades. And as Richie said, it was just great that they delivered and sprinkled the stardust on the day that really matters.
To be fair to Cork, so, you know, from that moment on, Clare settled really nicely, and I think actually O'Donnell gets in the ball twice in quick succession after the goal, and it's 1-2 in no time, and they're moving very well. Cork, no matter how bad it got, kept coming back. Like, the resilience, the response to the Tony Kelly goal was 3 points within 3-4 minutes, so they were level then for the 8th time on about the hour mark. And even in normal time, Richie, Clare are 2 up in the 70th minute, and Coleman gets it back to a point, and then Horgan hits the free, level for a night time, and then Tony Kelly does his thing, and Jack O'Connor has a wide for Cork, and you think that's that, and they come again. Now, Aaron Shanahan, probably a relieved fella today, giving away the free. Well, I did kind of think, geez, Cork, even if they don't win this game, as they didn't, they shouldn't feel too downhearted about that kind of steel that they kept showing in that game, because it was not a comfortable game for them once that first Clare goal went in at all. Never comfortable.
Yeah, and it's not supposed to be. You know, and playing really well on the day doesn't guarantee you that you're going to win. But Cork can be proud of their performance, for sure. And they've found something this year. They've found the right balance and the right mix. Maybe, unfortunately, for Cork, there's a handful of those guys who, the likes of Seamus Harnady and Patrick Horgan, and others who, they're certainly not going to get any better next year. You know, they might be able to maintain the same level, but obviously those guys are pushing on. And Harnedy was brilliant yesterday in terms of his ball winning, and in terms of I think he got 4 points in total. But look, Cork won't be happy. They'll be outrageously disappointed and deservedly disappointed, but they shouldn't be angry at themselves. I think they gave as good as they could get. They're a tiny little bit short. I mentioned here after the Limerick game about the structure of their defence, and you could probably see that with Tony Kelly's goal. There's five Cork defenders goal side, and he managed to get past all of them. Yes, there was a bit of brilliance in there, but Sean O'Donoghue really flies across to maybe clean him out of it rather than maybe steadying himself a little bit. And then Mark Rogers picks up a ball 65 yards out, solos the whole way through, cuts in a little bit easy, and there's two defenders there, and somebody doesn't get a hook. So there may be some things that they'll be able to look at and maybe be able to find something for next year.
It's funny, because that struck me as less structural, because I know you'd used the structural point before, and I think, well, in Kelly's case, in Rogers' case, and even to an extent for the first goal, although maybe you hold your hands up and say, well, Shane O'Donnell, you're just a freak, but numbers are there, the structure's there. Actually, it's man-to-man combat. It's your decision-making in a moment. There's enough of you there to deal with it. Like, Pat Ryan could rightly say, well, the structure was there, but just individual choices let us down. And actually, on commentary, Michael Dignam made it was kind of a fascinating aside when Clare took off Aidan McCarthy. Michael Dignam was saying, well, I mean, who knows if he's right or wrong, but he was speculating. It was a very interesting point. He said, well, Cork aren't cynical in defence. They don't give away many fouls. And so maybe Lohan and the team figure they can maybe do without McCarthy as much. There's not going to be a lot of fouls in this game. Freeze needed. And then he said, it's also why Clare are creating all these goal chances. I thought, oh, geez, if you're a Cork player watching that back over the next couple of months and you hear that point, you may definitely think to yourself, well, maybe we need to start getting a bit more cynical.
Yes, possibly. The way I look at it, take out the two Downies who are out and out defenders. The other four would be just as comfortable, I think, in the half forward line, because they're real attacking, brilliant hurlers, brilliant players. And yes, they're all completely merit their place on the team, absolutely, but maybe not all at the same time, or maybe not all in the same type of positions. And that's maybe where Cork have gone for that type of player a little bit more often than other teams have. I was doing a thing for PwC early on in the day with Dan Morrissey. They really could have done with someone like Dan Morrissey. That's the kind of guy that they needed. Some fella who he knows where to go, he knows when to stay, he knows what's behind him, he knows what's to the left and right, and he's just a little bit more comfortable. He's not going to be soloing up the pitch, pinging balls over the bar too often. But that's maybe where they're struggling a little bit.
Yeah, thoughts on all that, Jamesy?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if Tony took his, you know, went on that run through the heart of the Brian Hogan, JJ Delaney, Jackie Tyrrell, Kilkenny defence, I mean, they'd have been queuing up to meet him physically. There's no way you'd have imagined Tony getting through, those guys would their maybe set defensive instincts. And yeah, I mean, look, you couldn't be happy, with either Mark Rogers or Tony the way they got through that easily. Look, you've got to give credit to the boys for the skill they showed. And, you know, Sean O'Donoghue just overcommitted. As Richie said, like a more experienced defender, maybe a guy with maybe better defensive instincts, maybe just says, right, well, we'll concede the point here, but that's it. And maybe shepherd him out a little bit. Whereas I think Tony, when Sean maybe overcommitted, it, you know, obviously it's a split second decision. Tony's not even thinking about it, he's just acting on instinct. Tony's thinking maybe there's an opportunity here, there's more on. But I mean, like in my day, Joe, certainly I couldn't see yourself being allowed to score that in a club game. You'd have been killed, you know. But listen, I just felt though the Clare were like, you know, there was so much space, they dragged Cork all over the place. And I thought, like, when we had runners coming, we looked like you know, there was a bag of goals to be got, and Cork were struggling to deal with it. And that's the type of players we've got to. I mean, Kelly, O'Donnell, Rogers, they're picking the right lines, they're timing their own. Dave Fitzgerald, when he gets a head of steam up, like his, you know, he's 6'5", Joe. He's a supreme athlete. He's leaving guys in his wake, you know. And there was times we'd say for him yesterday, I mean, he could have finished up with 1.17 or 1.8, and times when maybe he could have carried the ball maybe 20-30 yards further forward into space, maybe made more sure maybe some of those shots that he didn't convert. But yeah, I mean, you couldn't be happy from a defensive perspective if you were the Cork management about the nature of certainly two, if not three, of the clear goals. I think we'll give the first one to just O'Donnell's genius.
Yeah, okay, deal. We'll take a short break. More from Richie Hogan and James O'Connor just a sec.
Hurling on Off the Ball.
Welcome back, Richie Hogan, James O'Connor with us. Couple of messages coming in. What do you think Cork people want to talk about that we haven't talked about yet? Did you think on the whole Johnny Murphy had a good game, Jamesy?
Yeah, I did. I thought he let the game flow, Joe. I mean, I thought he got most of the big calls right. Yeah, listen, I can understand the dissatisfaction amongst Cork supporters. I mean, obviously the 65 that wasn't was a call that, you know, Johnny probably needed maybe a bit of help from his umpires. I mean, the umpire waved it wide. He was probably maybe better placed to see what happened than Johnny was. Maybe one of the linesmen might have just been in Johnny's ear, maybe saying, listen, that went off Adam Hogan or I think it was Adam Hogan or Conor Cleary's hurley. So that's in a 1-point game. Obviously, that's one. The second one, obviously, is the jersey pull at the end. I mean, it's probably 1,000 jersey pulls that tugs in a game that go maybe unchecked and maybe unpunished. You know, Robbie still got the shot off. I mean, you know, when you slow it down, Joe, and obviously you go frame by frame, sure it looks terrible, but I mean, that's one. Yeah, I mean, was it technically a free? Yeah, it was, but I can see clearly why he didn't get it, why he didn't give it, and Robbie got the shot off. The big one was probably the one where Dave McInerney was falling and appeared to pull down Robbie O'Finn. I mean, McInerney was on a yellow card himself, and I think Harry.
When you say he appeared to pull him down.
Well, Neil McManus, I think, felt that Neil felt that you know, he was going to ground, and it was in the act of falling to the ground, his trailing hand just managed to make contact with Robbie's leg. I don't know how conscious of it he was. I mean, I was looking at initially when I first saw it, I wondered did Robbie give him a little nudge into the back as they were going to the ball. You know, probably not, possibly not. But I think, look, number one, Avery Quilligan was coming off the line. Number two, Adam Hogan was certainly back. Number three, Robbie didn't have possession of the ball. And I thought it was the right call to give the free when Clare had possession. It was a big call, but do I think that David McInerney, on the balance of it, deserved to be sent off? Not in a game that was played in the spirit that game was played in. And sometimes referees maybe have to use a little bit of discretion in terms of, you know, and I would have felt, for example, Joe, in the Wexford match, that, you know, the Rory O'Connor situation, I would have gone over, I think, if I was Johnny, and given a stern talking to Rory O'Connor, you know what I mean, and said, listen, you were late here, you've already been booked, one more and you're gone. And that's what I'm talking about. And maybe it's a consequence maybe of the referees being under the scrutiny they're under, and obviously those reviews after the championship matches and so on. But I think in terms of the game and the consequence for the game, I think it was the right call. I didn't think McInerney merited a red card. But certainly if I'm a Cork supporter, in a game they lost by a point, you know, am I irked at some of those decisions that maybe went Clare's way? Yeah, but overall, I thought Johnny got most of the calls right. I mean, I know Lohan wasn't happy. He said that, I think, at the banquet, that, you know, we two were for backline on yellow cards very early, and, you know, one Cork defender giving away maybe three frees and there was no yellow card, and I think he spoke to the umpires about that and let his feelings be known. But I thought overall, I mean, Johnny Murphy contributed in every way to the spectacle it was, and he let the game flow, and that's not easy, Joe. And I think, you know, referees get a bad rap often. I think Liam Gordon, I think Sean Stack, Tyler Walsh, I think we've some really, really good referees that have a good sense of the game, and have had a pretty good year, and I'd have no issue with any of those guys refereeing the final. And I hate for Johnny if maybe those one or two calls at the end when he was exhausted. I think he talked that he might have pulled his hamstring and got a clip in the head as well for his troubles. If that casts a shadow over for what in my opinion, was by and large a pretty good day for Johnny.
I agree. I do agree. And I know the natural reaction for emotional supporters is to say, this is a free, we didn't get it, we were robbed. And I can empathise with that situation completely. Watching it at the game, I didn't see any free. Then when I saw the pictures, I clearly did see he pulled his jersey. Now, I'd say Robbie O'Flynn didn't even know his jersey was pulled. The jersey just stretched a bit. And absolutely, by the letter of the law, by the rule book, it was a free. Of course it was. But as Jamesy said, in the game, there was hundreds of those. Yeah. And they're not given. And you either give them all or you give a small bit of leeway. Nobody is asking about the free that led up to Robbie O'Flynn's catch that... That Patrick Collins hit up. Nobody could see that free, nobody would complain because it was up in the backs and he's kind of given them, he gave them a chance, to be fair, to level it in normal time and in extra time. But I completely get where Cork supporters are coming from.
Maybe an interesting question to ask is, would the tug from Conor Lean on Robbie O'Flynn's shirt have affected the strike?
No, I don't think so.
Maybe that's the pertinent point.
Yeah, so it doesn't, and you have to have some leeway with the rules in terms of it, and you summed it up there, in terms of its effect on the game. So you will often see two players going to the ball, one guy gets to it first to rise it, and another guy is trying to swing, and he clips the hurl, but as long as the player still gets the ball into his hand, like, that is technically a free, but it's not given if it doesn't really affect the play and players don't look for it. But to be fair to Johnny Murphy, I thought Johnny Murphy had a brilliant game all round and really contributed to the game itself, in terms of letting it flow. There was proper contests for a ball in the air where a guy was making an honest challenge and just got it a little bit wrong. He was using his discretion there. And the David McInerney point is exactly right. And David McInerney was lucky, of course he was, but his first yellow card, like, wasn't even, like, it was two players getting a yellow for a bit of kind of tangling, you know, like, that's nonsense stuff. He didn't deserve to leave the field of play. The penalty is just too high. I thought he had a good game overall, and that certainly, for me, that certainly didn't overshadow his performance.
It's funny, you talk to any players and you all, I think you're both in agreement there, you all crave a bit of common sense from referees and a weighing up with the circumstances, and okay, McInerney's already on a yellow and I'm going to be conscious of that, because I suspect the person in the stand with his checklist and ticking boxes doesn't give the same weight to interpretation, but players love a referee who has the guts to do it, even though it may mean a slight bending of a rule here and there and everywhere, but players no problem with it generally.
No, because, like, nobody will want to play a game that's refereed by analysts. Not a chance.
You need a feel for it and the circumstances.
You have to, yeah. And Johnny played the game himself at a high level, so he knows. Yeah. He knows what's generally okay and what's kind of fair game, and the vast majority of the time it's six of one, half a dozen of another. They're both fouling each other. Yeah. In this case it absolutely wasn't the case. Yeah. I completely get that. I feel so sorry for Robbie O'Flynn.
I was just going to say
he was very, very good when he came on. He got a brilliant point out at the side and had a goal chance after that, and he has had such a hard time with injury over the past couple of seasons, and look, he's young enough, he'll be back, he's a really important player for them, and this won't affect him.
Yeah, Jamesy, on that point, I mean, to use Dalo's line, a million mad things happen and then somebody wins. It's Robbie O'Flynn's misfortune that he had the last puck of the game, but he should, and you hope people around him have the good sense to say, a million things happened, you came on, you made an impact, you were brave enough to catch that ball, you were brave enough to take the shot, it's not about you, like, hold your head high, because it's a devastating kind of moment for him, and you could just see him fall to his knees straight away. He wasn't even actually looking at to see if there was going to be a puck at. I think he knew. It's like, well, you wouldn't have felt it as a Clare fan, but certainly as a neutral watching TV, I had a slightly sick feeling at full time looking at him, as well as being obviously quite happy for Clare.
Oh yeah, I mean, listen, Joe. Look, we've all been maybe in that situation, those circumstances. Maybe not in the All Ireland final, but yeah, look at hurling people. We're all gutted for him. And as you said, at a thousand things happen in a hurling match, and you know, a thousand different bounces or different outcomes, and you know, could have impacted the result in a game that was that tight. But as you know, as Richie said, look at he did the hard part. He made a fantastic catch under pressure. He took on the responsibility. He didn't shirk it. And another day that goes over, and he's the hero. So I hope, you know, and listen, nobody in that Cork dressing room, you know, would be blaming Robbie O'Flynn for the result. I mean, and hopefully the players, and I'm sure that, you know, I wouldn't expect anything else. They'll stand together. And listen, like, Joe, they left no stone unturned yesterday, and they were heroic because, like, and maybe we'll talk about the whole extra time thing, but I mean, both sets of players were out on their feet, exhausted at the end of 70 minutes. You know, to have to go then an extra 20, you know, it's you just didn't want it to be won or lost by a mistake or a goalkeeping error or someone, you know, just fatigued, you know, doing something wrong. And I just feel really gutted for Robbie. And just one other thing, I think this worked. Just one point I want to make sure before I forget it, right? But Lohan said at the banquet last night that Pat Ryan went into the Clare dressing afterwards and spoke with genuine honesty, and I mean, and how devastated and gutted was he, and how, you know, heartbroken was the place where he was coming from. And Brian said you could have heard a pin drop, and this huge respect, I know, in the Clare management team for Pat Ryan and his backroom, and obviously this massive respect between the players, given, you know, they've come across each other at underage at Fitzgibbon, and they've had great battles over the years. But Lohan couldn't have you know, made it clear to the Clare people in the room last night, you know, how highly he regarded Pat Ryan, and how the regard that, you know, the words that Pat Ryan had in the Clare dressing room, and how heartfelt and honest they were, that was something that wasn't lost on the Clare players and management team.
That's really nice to hear. And you know, it's funny, we take so many things for granted in the association. That aspect is lovely, and the folk in BBC too, as well as trying to get over the fact that this seemed to be some kind of mix of UFC and stick fighting, they also were struck by the fact that the fans were all in the same sections. You know, again, another thing we just take for granted, and it's a wonderful aspect of the whole occasion. A terribly unfair question to ask, Richie, but I'm gonna ask it nonetheless. It's the nature of a cup competition as opposed to a league based competition. We have an interesting dynamic now whereby Clare have the beating of Cork, Cork have the beating of Limerick, and Limerick have the beating of Clare. Do Clare need to beat Limerick in a big game in the next, ideally, year, so that this All-Ireland isn't remembered as the one where they dodge Limerick, and therefore there's not quite an asterisk, but it'll be an aspect to it?
No, that's bullshit. I actually heard this before when Clare won their last All-Ireland, because Kilkenny and Tipperary, they didn't beat Kilkenny and Tipperary along the way. And that stuff is nonsense. The best team wins the All-Ireland every year because the goal is to win the All-Ireland. So the goal is not to play well. The goal is not to beat the current All-Ireland champions. The goal is not to perform your best on every given day. The goal is to do whatever you can do to win the All-Ireland. And I think we have the most unique sport, the fact that it's a cup competition. It's not about a league where you can, you know, where the best panel wins out, like a premiership sort of situation where you're talking about something going from September until April. This is about all on the day. You have to produce, you have to do whatever you can do to win on that particular occasion. And that's what makes it so special and so entertaining. We're looking at the football at the moment, and we're all giving out about how there's just no consequence to winning or losing, and how disinterested everybody is. But there's something special about supporters' hearts being in their mouths in cup competition games. And I hope it never leaves it. And I hope they don't try and dilute it too much. It's okay the way it is. We don't have to have 20 games a season, because you're not going to get 20 brilliant games a season. But no,
And even though it's not just a case of they dodged them, it's actually they played them twice and lost twice.
Yeah, but sure, who cares? Like, okay, Limerick lost twice to Cork. I just don't buy into that. Fair enough, they happen to be on the other side of the draw, but we were in a similar situation a couple of years ago where we beat Limerick who were highly fancied to beat us in 2019, and we didn't win the All-Ireland either. Tipperary won the All-Ireland that year, and they got hammered by Limerick in the Munster final. And so that's just the way it goes. You do what you can to win it, and certainly the team that wins it deserves it.
James E, to quote Richie, bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, you, Joe, you appreciate they are hard won, you know, and even going back to 2013, I mean, it was four teams in the semi-final, you know, when Cork put out Kilkenny, that had a chance to win it, Cork, Limerick, Dublin and Clare, and Clare were the ones that, you know, produced the goods on the biggest days, and you know, that at Ireland is as sweet as anyone. So yeah, in the ideal world, you beat Cork, Limerick, Tip, Kilkenny, you know, you beat them all. But no, I mean, the Clare players, they paid their dues, Joe, and they had to go deep into their reservoir of will and energy and stamina and endurance and resilience and all those things that were called upon yesterday. And like, they were exhausted at the end of it. They couldn't have given any more. They hardly had the energy to climb the steps of the Hogan Stand afterwards. And you know, don't tell me that they didn't deserve, or they weren't fitting on Ireland champions. They absolutely were.
Mm. I suspect you're with James on the extra time point, are you?
Yes and no. Like, what's the alternative? Extra time was a small bit of a mess. Clare in particular were out on their feet, and it's testament to them that they managed to win it, because Cork obviously had the legs. Shane Kingston, Jack O'Connor, Robbie O'Flynn came on, all really strong runners, and I was sure they were going to win, especially when Kingston picked up the first, I think he got the first 2 points of the first half of extra time, and Clare just managed to find a way to win, which was great. But you know, if it goes to a replay, and I've been involved in replay at All Irelands, nobody wants to lose it, no matter whether it's in a replay or in injury time or an added time, but people would take extra time before they take losing. And I don't know, coming back in 2 or 3 weeks time for another game, of course Cork would love it now, but it's just either way, it's not nice to win anything, and penalties is not nice either. But I would say this was one of the worst extra time experiences, I think, for players, where I've never seen so many players going down with cramp and coming off. I've never seen it as bad as it was yesterday. They had just emptied themselves so much.
And it's been a condensed season, and I guess the build up to an All-Ireland final is draining, so it's not surprising.
Yeah,
players are tired.
Yeah.
And Joe, just on that, the way both sides play as well, they go man for man.
Sure.
And part of, I mean, I remember going down in the game in Páirce Cáil, and just like the Cork plan seemed to be, right, we're going to run the Clare half back line all over the field, and you guys go as hard as you can for 50 minutes, and then we'll be on Robbie O'Flynn, Kingston, you know, the speedsters, and when the spaces open up, we finish the job off. And you know, I mean, Brian Lohan trusts these players that you're responsible for doing that, you know. So the way Cork plays is punishing. And you know, certainly, like, the number of guys going on with cramp and the genuine fatigue that was there on the players. I suspect, for example, that the GPS data in terms of the ground covered is probably higher playing Cork than maybe you know, other teams, and that's just a feature of the way they play. And Cork ask a lot of questions of you physically, and that's the one thing I felt about Clare, that, you know, Lucas, who was, we're not Ireland with Tip, we're not Ireland with Micheál Donoghue in Galway, Lohan was able to get his hands on him, get him in as in the strength and conditioning side of things. And I had confidence, and I had it from that day in Páirce Cáil, that Clare were fit. And I even thought against Kilkenny, Joe, you know, Clare finished the game really, really strongly. Clare were going to be able to go, but like, we lost Cleary to a shoulder problem. His shoulder popped up and out. O'Donnell, as I said, had a hamstring injury going into the game. Peter Duggan had just exhausted himself. Rogers had a dead leg. Downey just again looked like that. He got some kind of a knock or dead leg or whatever, and he couldn't play an extra time. So it just seemed to be more attritional yesterday, in terms of, you know, the how physically taxing the game was. And that's why, you know, the obviously the benches were a huge, huge part of it. But both sides were really just out on their feet. And that's why I think it's such a talking point, and it's such a focal point. That, you know, no one wanted it to come down to an exhausted player making a mistake and it cost him such a game that was played the spirit it was.
Just the last one. So I suspect Cork and Pat Ryan will eventually take the positives out of this season, and they'll nurse that hurt and let it fuel them, and they'll go again. What's your sense of Brian Lowen, Jamesy? 5 years, very intense stint. Might he sail off into the sunset, or how do you think Clare will pitch up in a couple of months' time?
Not a hope that Lowen is going anywhere. We wouldn't allow him to anywhere. you know, I think, look at that. Yeah, this everybody will be back. Even last, I mean, I was talking to John Conlon. Joy, I taught John Conlon. And John, we won that Ireland Colleges against Richie's team in whatever it was, 2005, and John was a sub and played the following year when we lost the final to the Dublin Colleges. And he's just in incredible physical shape, Joe. And what a game he had yesterday. I mean, you know, he was phenomenal at 36 or 37 years of age, and there's no way. He's such an important and respected and revered part of that dressing room that you know, they're all going back, I'd imagine, next year. You know, they're such a happy camp and such a united camp. So they'll be a year older, and you wonder how long more these guys can keep performing at the level they're at, but hopefully there's at least one more year in all of them.
What's your advice to a team going for their second?
I think two is nearly easier than one. Actually, I don't think I've won any All-Irelands in singles. I think they've all been back-to-back. But it genuinely is, because you have so much momentum and you have so much belief.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easier than one for a really talented, really good group, which these guys are. Time is running out for a lot of these guys too, you know, like a lot of them are now in their 30s. So my advice to Clare will be squeeze as much as you possibly can out of it. They'll, you know, definitely, like what they did yesterday, that's the best thing that most of those guys will ever do in their lives. So why would they not go? And everybody out there with children now is probably screaming at me through the radio. But with the exception of that, and with the exception of the obvious, it's the most unique thing that most of them will ever do. And why would they not try and go do it again and come up just short to Kilkenny in 2025?
Yes, absolutely. Fellas, that is our hurling coverage for the Inter-County year done. Thank you to you both. Nice to have two All-Ireland winning hurlers of the year every week to chat to. Jamesy, thank you. And Richie Hogan, we knew you'd be brilliant. You were brilliant. Thanks so much for doing punditry. I know it's not as much fun as playing, but it's been good to have you every week with us. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
Cheers, Joe. Thanks, Jamesy. Best of luck, Joe, right?
Yes, thank you, Jamesy. Hurling and Off the Ball is with thanks to Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsors of the Senior Hurling Championship.
Are you sure we can tell this?
Massive fan of Off the Ball.
Ireland is in dreamland.
The All-Ireland finals are almost upon us.
There's always good guests on.
Fastest ever seen you run your life.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe at offtheball.com/join.
Highly recommend it.